You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise.
Yeah, everybody, thank you so much for listening. This is going to be a kind of a weird episode because I'm in New York.
And I'm in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, man, we're going to talk about CCL.
We're going to talk about Jordan Morris.
Oh, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff happening in the MLS season. That and more on this episode of The Cooligan!
Hey guys, this is Tommy McNamara from New York City FC, and you're listening to The Cooligans. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to The Cooligans. Real quick, I just want to tell you about a sponsor. We're only going to have one big segment today, so this is the only opportunity we get to tell you about Mike's Hot Honey. Mike's Hot Honey is absolutely amazing. Let me tell you what I recently did. My wife is not going to get a chance to come with me to Los Angeles. She was really looking forward to the trip. So what I did is I made her favorite food item in Los Angeles, which is an In-N-Out double-double animal-style burger in-house. That's right. I went out. I figured out how to make the sauce. I went out and got the meat. I went out and got the buns. I got the lettuce. I got the tomatoes. I got the onions. I reduced the onions for an hour and a half. And while I was making the special sauce, I realized, let me remix it a little bit and put a little bit of Mike's Hot Honey in there. And not only was it better, it was absolutely amazing. And Dee loved it. And even though she's not going to get a chance to come with me to Los Angeles, it made her miss Los Angeles just a little less. And it makes it a little easier for me to go out there and not get yelled at, that I'm out there having a lot of fun and she can't make it. Guys, I'm there for meetings and comedy shows. I'm not going to have any fun. I'm going to have a great time. And I'm going to eat a lot of In-N-Out. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring some Mike's Hot Honey with me. If you don't know about Mike's Hot Honey, they were the sponsor of the Tommy McNamara video. If you haven't seen that Tommy McNamara video, are you even our friends? Are you even our fan? I mean, get out there, watch the video, help us out, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, put a nice comment underneath. Let Mike's Hot Honey know that you're out there trying to get some stuff. And if you go to mikeshothoney.com and you're going to buy it because you heard this and you want to make that sauce yourself, or you want to put it on top of pizza like we did in the video, all you have to do is put in the word Hot Cooligans, all one word, HOTCOOLIGANS, and you can get yourself some Mike's Hot Honey of yourself for 20% off. In fact, you get 20% off your entire order. So buy the biggest size because you are going to feel so bad about yourself after you finish using the first bottle and you go back and that code does not work. So go in, put Hot Cooligans, HOTCOOLIGANS, on mikeshothoney.com. Get yourself 20% off. Buy multiple bottles. It makes a great gift for your friends, for your family, or you know what? The most important, yourself. Yeah, baby.
Hello. Buena, que tal? Dímelo, loco, que lo que?
Yo, he is. You can, if you can't tell, Christian Polanco is not only being super Dominican, he is so Dominican, he's in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, that's as super Dominican as you can get when you're actually within the country's borders. So,
yeah, have you noticed? Have you noticed yourself becoming way more Dominican?
Yeah, I'm wearing a fishnet shirt right now.
Oh, baby.
with some Gucci loafers. So I think I'm doing fine.
I mean, you know, look, I don't know what you just said, but I feel like I'm at La Marina. I feel like somewhere Drake is shooting a video.
This has been great, man. I'm here. I came to see the CONCACAF Champions League match and also spent time with family, went to the beach, it did everything. It's been wild, and I haven't been here in a long time, so it's been good to be back.
All right, well, nothing more exciting than getting a chance to go back home and experience soccer for the first time in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, it's wild. I didn't know what to expect, but it was a very good experience. But here, they call it football. Some people only know the game as balompié. Have you ever heard this?
Balompié is what I grew up calling it. So, baloncesto is basketball.
Yeah, so it's almost like, I'm like worried about, you know, the Euro snobs that get mad when we call it soccer. Don't even say balompié to them. They're going to lose their minds.
Oh, they're going to have a field day with this bad boy.
Their heads will explode.
I mean,
yeah, it's like a a whole new word.
I can't even understand how they're going to react when they find out when it's ball on foot.
This makes no. this takes hand egg to a whole new level.
And by the way, once again, the Italians are just gonna sneak away, calling it calcio.
Yeah, nobody, everybody's too afraid of the Italians to criticize them, so they're never gonna say anything.
God forbid you're gonna wake up with half a bloody ball in your bed.
Yeah, and all your children's names written on it. Yes, well, it's just a warning. It's just a warning.
Yeah, Balompié. There's actually a team in Spain that calls themselves, like, instead of Club de Fútbol, they call themselves, like, you know, Equipo de Balompié or something like that.
Wow. The Balompié Tigers.
Yeah. Los Tigres de Balompié. Look, I'm all for it. I'm all for the over Hispanicization of soccer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's dripping in sazón. I love it.
That's exactly what I want. I want adobo all over that field.
Yeah, those aren't turf pellets. That's adobo.
That's adobo, baby. That's old ass adobo your grandmother's keeping. It never goes bad, regardless of what it says on the canister.
So, yeah, it's been great. Again, welcome to the show. This is going to be a very, very different show. I also feel kind of bad that I'm not there because the MLS, is starting this weekend, and I wish I could be in studio hyping it all up. But, you know, I got to go see my Nana and Pop. So so it's been good.
Abuelita needs some Christian time. So, I'm sure our fans aren't going to, freak out too much, even though you're not here. But look, you are taking time away from a summer paradise in the middle of a really rough New York winter to still call in and make sure that we give our fans a podcast every week. And trust me, when I go to Las Vegas/Los Angeles or Ireland, which again does not fit Dominican Republic, Las Vegas and Los Angeles, but when I go to those places, I will still be calling in and I will make sure that our fans get a little bit of a taste of what I'm doing and also what's happening in the league. And while the league is starting, I think let's start with CCL. We've talked about it, and not only did you get CCL fever, you might be out there getting a little Zika virus as well, CCL Zika virus. You're out there experiencing it firsthand. What was this like?
I mean, I spent about 4 days in the hospital with CCL fever. It was it's rough out here. That's all I'm trying to say.
It's rough. It's the sun, you know?
We didn't even introduce ourselves, just in case anyone is listening for the first time. My name is Christian Polanco, and I am in Dominican Republic.
My name is Alexis Guerreros, and I'm still in New York City, which is pretty much the same as Dominican Republic, especially if you take the subway at 3 o'clock, which is when all the kids get out.
And the interesting thing is that I'm with my girlfriend, and it's been interesting introducing someone to this country, especially an American person, a white person, a white blonde woman walking through the streets of Santiago, Dominican Republic. Dude, traffic stops. I mean, police pull over. They're like, are you sure? Is she kidnapped? Why? What is she doing here? Everyone's very uncomfortable, but it's been fun walking through and slightly like showing her around and also like protecting her from the Dominican gaze. You know, it's pretty strong out here.
It's not even catcalling. It's just lasers shooting out of eyes out there, isn't it?
You feel the lasers directly. I'm like, is something, is the sun, does someone have a magnifying glass over me as the sun is beaming down? Oh, no, that's just a Dominican man staring at my girlfriend.
There's just a group of men standing outside of their patio staring at your girlfriend. I mean, what has the experience been like for her? I mean, look, you got the experience a little bit by going to the CCL game. But and by the way, I'm Alexis Guerreros. I know we started this conversation and together we are the Cooligans, which is just the funniest soccer podcast in the world. It just so happens to be
the gulliest as well.
No one's ever said those words that way in that tone, but all right, we'll take it. Yes. Hello. We are the gulliest. But what is what was it like for your girl to just sort of, what is it, your girl walking around Dominican Republic for the first time, like the real Dominican Republic, you know, not the resorts where they hide, you know, all where they hide everything that's shameful to society. Not that. She's walking around the real Santo Domingo, the real Dominican Republic. Is it similar to your experience getting to watch a soccer game with fans in the Dominican Republic, which for those of the people listening that aren't as geopolitically, you know, I guess, you know, now I can't think of a word. I thought of geopolitical and now I can't think of a word.
That was too many syllables to go on to the next word.
It just blew out my mind. My mind was like, wow, we actually got it out correctly, too. For people
right,
who are...
Everybody, wrap it up. Shut everything down. We're done here.
I mean, we did as best we could. Christian will figure it out from here on out.
There's no more fuel. That was too much. That required too much.
We can't go faster, Captain. We don't have the power. I don't know if that's the exact quote, and I'm upsetting a lot of nerds. But
it's pretty good.
For people who don't know, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. I mean, I think soccer is as significant a sport in the Dominican Republic as it is in the middle of a high school football game in Texas. You know what I mean? No one's thinking about it.
Yeah, it was surprising. I'll answer both questions. I'll talk about her experience from my best understanding. So I think for her being here, I think initially it's a shock. A little bit for me too, because like before I get here, especially when you go to your, where your parents are from, right? My parents left here in the early 80s. So for them, they're like, they talk about, when I say, oh, I'm going to go back, then they're like, all right, be careful. As soon as you step off the plane, someone will kill you. You better be careful. They will murder you and your girlfriend if you're wearing a watch, you know, like they instill all this fear because they left, you know, and they remember how like rough it was. But then you get here and you're like, all right, everybody's pretty chill. Like all the older people are telling me, be careful, you're going to get robbed every step you take. And then I walk out and I'm hanging out with like people our age, younger people. I'm like, all right, everybody's pretty chill. Yeah, there's like some delinquents here and there, like you see anywhere in any country, but everybody's, for the most part, is fine. Now for her, I think the difference is that she's the only one that looks the way she does. So there's a difference between like walking through Harlem and getting a couple like catcalls here and there, and then every single person looking at you as you're walking through their town. Cause it's like, it's a small community. Everybody kind of knows each other. That it's like, they barely know. They're like, who is this dude? And they're like, who's this white woman just walking through our neighborhood?
Who allowed her?
None of this makes any sense. I'm gonna look into this, you know.
So, have people started to buy property everywhere she walks, thinking here it comes.
The gentrification is she's the first one.
Yeah,
gentrifying.
They're coming, Papa. I saw them.
No, it's been cool. I mean, we've done a lot of cool things. We went to the beach and we went to these caves in Cabarete. We jumped in a pool that's inside a cave that's like 25 like meters deep, and it was like, it was nuts. So the touristy stuff been great. Walking around buying coconuts on the street for like a quarter. Meanwhile, you know, in Brooklyn they're paying like $6 a bottle. So they're you know. We're getting robbed in Brooklyn. I mean, the robbery is not happening here. That's one point I'm making.
Yeah, I mean, we're also much further away from a fresh coconut than you are right now. If you paid any more than a quarter or a nickel, I would have been shocked. It's like when I was a kid, you know, when we would go to like the Caribbean, there would be chains attached to trees, and I would always wonder, why are there chains attached to trees? And the locals would be like, oh, that's so you could more easily climb up there and get fruit if you want. And I'm like, that would never happen in Newark. And my mom's like, there's no fruit in the trees in Newark. And I was like, good point. That's a great point.
Yeah, you shake a tree and pistols fall out.
Yeah, a dude falls out. He's like, chill, I'm hiding from my PO.
Yo, you blow my cover, dog. Chill.
Dog, why are you shaking a tree, my G?
Yo, who shakes trees anymore? This is ridiculous.
What are you, from the Caribbean?
Yeah. So that's been cool. We've had a good time. And then, so the game. So it was Cibao FC against Chivas de Guadalajara. And I didn't know what to expect. You know, we were talking about it last week. I didn't know who was going to be there. It's not like I never met one soccer fan in Dominican Republic in my time spent here. So I didn't know it was that big a deal. The league itself, the Liga Dominicana, it's only about, I think, 4 or 5 years old.
I think it's three. I saw an interview that somebody, I don't know if you retweeted it. Somebody must have retweeted it. And now that we follow so many people from the league, but they said it was like sort of a news, like a news segment where they interviewed the coach of Cibao FC before the game to try to drum up, you know, some more, excitement. And he said that the team has been in existence for 3 years. So I'm assuming the league has been in existence for 3 years.
Okay. I just looked at him now. It's in 2015. So yeah, 3 years.
Same time as NYCFC and Orlando City started.
Look at that. So who knows? Maybe Cibao FC get promoted into Major League Soccer. Who knows? So the game itself, I get there. It's in a university, Estadio Cibao, and it's in the university called Madre Maestra. I forgot the full name, but apparently my uncle was telling me it's a big university where a lot of like even international people come to study. Nice campus, gorgeous, and then you get to the stadium, and it feels like very much like a college football kind of environment and scenery. But when we got to the parking lot, there was a bit of a wait. There was a lot of traffic. Got to the parking lot, and then I'm like, all right, there's not that many people here. And you get to the stadium, and it's just full. I mean, and it says it's 5,000 capacity, but they didn't stop selling tickets. They just let people stand around wherever they could stand. It was like standing room. I mean, it was literally like almost a comedy club. So just incredible. I mean, I went in there knowing like Chivas is gonna demolish this team. I mean, they're not as good as Chivas, without a doubt. But getting there, my favorite things, and I recorded a bunch of stuff, and I'm gonna put out a video soon that I'm gonna put together. But they had what I love was that the ambiance was sort of like when we're at MLS game and we're always joking around with each other, having fun with like the game itself and commenting and stuff like that. It's just like there was a group of Dominican dudes and like two or three girls that were behind us. And there's something about the Dominican sense of humor that's maybe just a little bit different than like other cultures. It just sounds different. The slang is different. So it was just great to hear all that stuff. Even when people missed shots, the chants, in everything in coming from a Dominican background, it was just hilarious. And hearing all those, ay, coño, este tipo, like all that stuff, but complaining about soccer was just, it felt so extra authentic and great just getting to witness that stuff.
I think something that the fans can sort of try to maybe understand what that's like is, you know, for me, you know, hearing ay, coño meant, you know, somebody struck out, you know, growing up. Because Cubans are all about baseball, just like the Dominicans are. It's all about baseball. So it's very similar to, like, you know, people from the South, now that there's a couple more Southern teams, Atlanta United, and I guess maybe even, you know, Orlando or, you know, Nashville coming in next season. You know, to hear something so quintessentially Southern.
Don't tell the Atlanta or Nashville fans that Orlando is the South as well. They don't want to be,
you know, I guess
they don't
want to
be included.
You know, look, it's Southern Florida, and Orlando Central. I don't know. I don't know where Orlando is. I don't know why anyone goes there. Okay. Good luck to the team. Okay. I don't want to disrespect the team or the fans, but I've been to the city. You got nothing but Applebee's. All right. Now that I got that out of my system, what I mean is, you know, sometimes, you know, people who are from the South, we're probably not used to hearing some things that are so quintessentially Southern being said about soccer. And it's sort of a even if it's negative, it's a heartwarming moment, you know, when, you know, someone misses a shot or it's a bad tackle. And I don't know what they say in the South, you know, golly Joshums. I don't know what they say. OK, but
yeah, that's
hear,
that sounds about right, though. Yeah, right? If they're not saying it, they should be.
I got to be honest. I don't think we need to do any further research. I feel like that's it. But what I'm trying to say, like even the simple things of like Footy Mob having a bless your heart scarf, those two things, bless your heart and scarf, would only be paired together if somebody wore an ugly scarf to like dinner and a grandma or an aunt said it. Like to pair those things together is like insanely heartwarming and sort of makes you feel like, wow, my worlds are colliding in a very positive way. That must have been your experience hearing someone yell, que coño, you know, at a missed shot or a bad call. And you're just like, wow, man, like these are like, my whole life is all merging itself into one big circle.
Yeah,
Venn diagram.
Because even if growing up as a Dominican kid in Brooklyn, who loved computers and sports.
Say nerd. Yeah, we understand.
Big old nerd virgin. I'm still a virgin. All right.
I mean, I gotta have sex, but I'm a virgin.
I never touched a girl's hand before. No. But growing up with all those things, and when you're around other family members, when you're around other Dominican people that are more like closely connected to the culture, then you feel like you're different. You're like, oh, they don't like the things I like, or am I Dominican enough, and things like that. You sort of question those things. But being here for something like that, with two of my passions, you know, soccer and Dominican stuff, right? So
those which is how it's appropriately titled, Dominican stuff.
Merging those things together felt great, and so for the game itself. I didn't look at the stats. I don't know how much possession Cibao FC had, but if you told me zero, I would have been like, all right, well, maybe it's one. All right, don't say zero. You know, they couldn't possess the ball. Chivas was way too strong. Not defensively necessarily, but they couldn't. Cibao FC didn't have the players with enough skill to keep the ball away from Chivas. And Chivas, when they had the ball, were just precise. Just every single pass was perfect. They played everybody in the back defending. They were trying to go for counters. And there were two or three chances that were pretty clean that they could have had, but not, they didn't have any like straight shots where they had real, real chances. One thing that was interesting, and the one opportunity I thought Cibao FC was going to have, was that the players themselves were like athletic dudes. They were like some tall Dominican dudes. There's some Spanish guys on the team, a couple of Haitian guys. And I thought, I'm like, all right, well, they're going to just head a ball in over these tiny Mexican guys. But there were no opportunities. The Chivas guys, even though they were somewhat shorter, they just bullied the team. They bullied Cibao FC. They couldn't do much. I know the second leg is, I think, tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember. But it's gonna be rough, way rougher. They only lost 2-0, which is miraculous. it should have been 1-0, but at the end, they just kind of slipped up on defense. The keeper for Cibao FC kind of stood on his head. He was great. He had to be good because they had a lot of chances. But overall, like standing ovation after the game, the Dominicans here were so proud to see the team, to see them get to the Champions League and play and to play such a good team. The Guadalajara, the Chivas Guadalajara fans, they must have been about 300 or 400. They came out. They were awesome. Just great. It was just cool to see that here. And it was more than anything, it was super chill and people were appreciative. There were a lot of kids. Nobody was like, there wasn't even any hint of like hooliganism this or any anger. Nobody was angry. Nobody expected Cibao to win. They were just proud that they got to where they were and that such a strong Mexican team was here in Dominican Republic playing.
was what about the fans? Like, I know you spoke a little bit about, you know, sort of Dominicans not aren't huge soccer fans, but what do you think about, like, your experience just sort of talking to people that are soccer fans, and are they bigger soccer fans than you expected, or do you think that this team maybe brought that out of them?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think they're like this is definitely, soccer is a fringe sport here, but I think the real goal is to increase its popularity. And there are people, you don't really see kids, normally in the street, you see kids playing basketball or baseball. That's about it. But I just went to, there's a new park, at Parque Central de Santiago, that it's essentially Central Park, and they added, there's a soccer pitch in there. There's a futsal court. There's like, you know, now there's, it's popping up more and more. And even on the basketball courts, they did the thing that Kyle Martino was talking about.
Oh, the over-unders.
Over-under. They have those here. So people are playing, I mean, not always, like, usually the, you see the kids, like, using them as, like, monkey bars and swinging off the futsal goal. So not everybody.
Nobody tell yet. H&M.
Yeah. But they, overall, at the game, definitely at the game, another thing I noticed that it's sort of in a wealthier area of Santiago. So it's like the people that are there are also, like, not rich by any means, but like a little bit more affluent than where like my parents are from. So it's a little for like the poorer areas. It's not a suburb by any means. The sport is not that disconnected, but it is. You see the difference a little bit just because it's a newer sport and there's probably less opportunities and less access to play just because not many people are playing over here. But overall, the you know, at the stadium, everybody's wearing the kit, orange. It looks like Houston Dynamo. And they are just passionate. And one thing that was cool that I did like is that I feel like I feel this way. I don't know if every country is like this, but maybe I feel like the soccer fan is like, is similar to us in a way that there's a certain, we don't take ourselves too seriously. There's a certain fun that we can, compared to other sports. Like, I feel like an NFL fan is like a diehard Steelers, and then they sort of live their lives that way. And there's a disgusting diet that comes with being a Steelers fan. It's like, it's all part of your life, right? But here, it felt like, I feel like with soccer fans, there's like a more relaxed sensibility. And in Dominican culture, you don't really find that. Just across the board, but with the soccer fans, I felt like there was like a less of a machismo, just a more chill attitude compared to just like the other people in the culture. So it was like it did feel like for the people there, it felt like they were all soccer nerds as well in Dominican Republic.
Oh, what a beautiful thing. I'm glad that there was no like hooliganism. It's fun. It's like, you know, you mentioned there was families. I saw some of the photos you were posting. It seemed like it was a fun, chill thing. And look, I mean, no one expected Sabata FC to do well at all. I think one of the things the fans are really interested in is, did you get me a jersey?
Okay. Well, I tried my best. I looked everywhere, but they do not have your size. They do not make Sabata FC jerseys. No, I don't want to say that they don't make them. What I do want to say is that they don't make Dominicans in your size. That's what they told me.
Well, fat shaming Dominicans. Just bring me the largest one they have, and I'll find a way to make it work.
Find a way is like, is find a way mean diet and fit into it?
Oh God, no! I'm gonna go to like a seamstress or a tailor. Yeah, no. I mean, I might add a couple white patches on the side. Something.
Yeah, so that's what you got to do. Great time. I highly recommend if you're visiting Dominican Republic during the season, go see a Sabata FC match. There's a couple teams. There's 10 teams in the league. So if you're not just going to Santiago, you know, go somewhere else. And or even like there's the other teams in CONCACAF. Like the tickets honestly were like $15, $20 that came out to after the exchange. and well worth it. Well worth it. Everything was you in Dominican Republic, you're a king with like $40. So take advantage.
No one's going. No one's going, dude. Unless they open up Sandals Resort FC, no one's going. No one, at least that's our fans, are going. Here's the other question. What are the concession stands like?
I was going to say, I'll say that again.
I said, what are the concession stands like?
I'm trying to think. What were they? It's like hot dogs and like Dominican hot dogs. So like, it's like salchichas and stuff with like hot dogs that have like literally everything on it. But the
completo? Stadium itself,
the stadium itself didn't have that much food. It was it was fairly small, and it had drinks. It had like people on they set up like picnic tables, and they were just like serving Brugal in like little cups there. So it was really
Brugal is a liquor for everyone who's listening that doesn't know that
anything ready for that. But it seems like there's. Say that again.
I said it's Brugal is a liquor for everyone who didn't know that.
That's right. Yeah, it's a rum, popular rum here. But they basically it was so there were so many people that if it's almost like if in a couple years they might need like a new stadium or something like that. Like they might not be able to fit the amount of people that that are going to show up. I know this was a bigger game than usual. But if they can get that support for their like regular season games, they're probably going to need like a 10,000 seat stadium at some point. So, so yeah, overall great experience. Everybody has to come out here once and watch a soccer game. It's really really cool.
No one's doing it, but I'm glad that you think people are going to do it. I mean that's very impressive.
I have some faith. I have some faith.
All right, well, let's talk about CCL because you got to go see a game firsthand, which is awesome, but I did not. But I did get to watch the Frozen Tundra match, which was yes. Toronto versus Colorado, which was – it looked uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was colder than it was at MLS Cup in 2016. So I think the Toronto players were a little prepared, more prepared than last time. But – we were joking around about how much is Toronto going to win by, and it was 2-0. Colorado, I mean, not to say that Colorado didn't have any chances. It was the first time we were seeing Colorado with their new head coach, and we didn't know what to expect because they had such a bad season last year. But they're not going to beat Toronto. We knew that, and it. This match, more than anything, I think what stood out was the miss by Dominic Baggi, right? And how great Jovinko was, right?
It's funny. You say that you knew Colorado wasn't going to win. I wasn't so sure, and here's the reason why. You know, MLS, you know, we can talk about whether people want promotion, relegation, this, that, the other. But the one thing that's awesome about MLS is that because of the way it's structured, no one knows what a team is going to be like year over year. You know, just in the time we were doing the podcast, Colorado went from the worst to one of the best to back to being one of the worst. All in that time we've been doing this podcast. So, like, you never know what's going to happen. And you never know if there's going to be a little bit of that sort of, you know, sophomore slump kind of a thing. You know, a little bit of a championship sure. hangover. And, you know, it's preseason and they got a new coach and this coach is talking a big game about, you know, Bielsa and Sampaoli and he wants to, you know, play aggressive attacking soccer. And I was like, oh my God, could this be it? And no, it wasn't.
No, but I would take a preseason Toronto FC over a preseason Colorado Rapids. That's where my confidence stood. So I think that a couple of things that I think people were focusing on was probably Tim Howard and how he was going to do against just a strong, attack of Toronto. But Tim Howard, the goal that he gave up against, was it Jonathan Osorio?
Yeah.
The header, right? It was a good header. You know, somebody obviously, no one could mark him. It was a great cross by Giovinco, I believe. But Tim Howard looked. He floated it over. It looked like a finger roll of a header over Tim Howard, and Tim Howard looked like, I'm not going for that. You know, yeah, I'm too old for this. You know, he was from like Lethal Weapon, Danny Glover. I'm too old for this shit.
I feel bad saying that, like, he didn't do enough, but that's sort of the feeling I got. Like, the thing I think that was most frustrating about watching that game is, I don't know if we didn't tell the fans this, but you and I did an entire segment about Tim Howard saying he was going to retire this year. And then we ended up cutting it out because we couldn't find any confirmation of it. But it seemed like we had both heard that.
Yeah, I definitively heard that from which I thought was an official source, but I didn't see it. I couldn't find any article referring to it.
We couldn't find any confirmation. So we just kind of cut that out just to, like, look, I know the fans are like, what, for the first time you decided not to give us fake information? But look, actually, for the one time we cared about whether you guys were getting real information or not, and we decided to cut it out. But from watching this game, I don't think we need an article. I think it's proof this guy's starting to retire now. He just he just looked, I mean, not even a step or two too slow. He looked completely out of, and look, it's preseason and he's older.
Yeah.
And these guys don't get up for, you know, the early part of the season or the preseason. But it was also a CCL match and an important one. So to some degree,
at home,
which also, like, that's probably not a good thing. Like, I don't know why they didn't play this game in, like, Tucson. You know, like, this is, you know, I think, what was it, 11 degrees, 12 degrees when the game was going on?
It was 17 degrees at kickoff.
At kickoff. At least the floor was heated, which I think Vasquez got a pretty light tap on his foot, and he stayed down. And I think the reason he did, I tweeted about it, is he was like, oh, man, it feels nice down here. You know?
Why leave? Yeah.
Oh, I'll stay here for as long as possible. Like, you know, the guy's from Spain. He's not used to this. Like, yeah. I watched that match, and part of me was like, look, they're actually playing soccer, which was insane. I thought it was going to be like almost like a snowball kind of a thing where they're just passing it back and forth. And speaking of the goal on a header, a lot of the ball heading back and forth. Look, I'm not a professional soccer player, but I have headed the ball when it's cold outside, and it feels like those things have rocks in them. There's a lot of concussion protocol we need to go over, because these guys were just heading that ball back and forth, and in my head, I was like, stop it, man.
Yeah, it's like when the snow is like kind of – when there's moisture in the air and snow like packs together for like a good snowball that can really do some damage. That's what happens to a soccer ball.
Exactly.
In that kind of weather.
it basically turns into a futsal ball, which are weighted, you know?
Yeah.
I watched this game, and part of me was like, you know, it's just sort of looking, you know, they got rid of a couple really important players, Toronto, you know, some youth products that they didn't protect. And you look at, you look at their back line and you wonder if that could be sustained another year, guys like Hagelin and whatnot. I watched that game. And the first thought that came to my mind is, I know I haven't seen a lot of the new additions. I haven't seen a lot of, you know, the way the new teams are set up. Orlando re-upped heavy this year with some proven MLS talent. A lot of other teams have gone out and gotten some, you know, additional superstar South Americans. It's not just me and you, baby. Other Latinos are here now. They're helping make a change. I watched a lot of these teams bring these players in, but we haven't seen what they can do. And looking at Toronto, they look even more dangerous than last year for a preseason game. And you mentioned it, Giovinco looked like he was in midseason form.
Giovinco did look great. And the goal that he scored was awesome. You had tweeted out that great tweet about Anthony Hudson, the manager for Colorado, and mentioning how, like, people have tried single man coverage. People have tried two man coverage, but nobody's tried no man coverage on Giovinco.
Yeah,
that was great. Because I mean, he did that scissor kick after that cross, and it's just like it's just weird. It's just always strange that the tiniest man is that open, and then two has that much space to do such a beautiful move. And he's like, and this is the first game of the season for him. And it was great. And then once that goal went in, it was like, all right, that's it. I mean, once the first goal went in, that's it. Call the match because it's too cold. Nobody wants to be out there. Let's just play the second leg and start worrying about that. But yeah, it was overall. I think in the second leg, I think it's going to just be more of the same back in Toronto, Colorado. They're going to be in and out of this competition pretty quickly. But the other match that was pretty significant was the Seattle Sounders against Santa Tecla in this match was weird, right? Because they didn't they played this at a neutral ground.
Honduras is having some political turmoil. Big shock for those of you who are Latino. But they're having a little bit of political turmoil. Apparently, the election that took place, there's just a lot of things that aren't matching up. And a lot of the people are very upset. So they're protesting. And I guess because of that political climate, there was a need to play the game elsewhere. But it was essentially an empty stadium in Costa Rica.
Yeah. So it looked pretty weird. And it was a No. Was this the Red Bull game?
Red Bull Olympia.
Red Bull Olympia. Okay.
You were talking about Seattle Santa Tecla.
Yeah. It was one of those. I forgot which one it was.
Yeah, no, it was Red Bull. Red Bull played in front of nobody. So familiar for them. Only joking, Red Bull fans. It's a hacky joke. I know. Relax. I know there's a couple who listen to us. Shouts to one fan who just put Gullius from Section 202. We got some fans out at RBA.
No doubt. So the one thing, so from Seattle, they lost this game 2-1. I saw the highlights for this game, but the big thing is Jordan Morris. Jordan Morris injured, tore his ACL, out for the year, and pretty devastating, again, to lose one of your better players first game of the year. I mean, it feels a little bit like, the Gordon Hayward ankle injury after in the first game of the NBA season. So it's pretty devastating, and people don't know what to expect from the Sounders going forward.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, people want a switch to a winter schedule, sort of a more of what we call, I guess, like the universal schedule for soccer, which is to play essentially the same time as American football, fall and fall, winter, spring. Look, you watched this CCL has showed us a reason to do it and a reason not to do it. One of the big reasons is it's really tough to play this important of a match this early into the season because, your muscles and everything just aren't there. Now, look, that's not exactly the reason why, but maybe Jordan Morris was sort of pushing himself a little bit further, pushing himself a little harder than he probably should have or could have at this point in the season because, this was an important match. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's something to do with it. So a lot of fans are upset about that. I don't know if you remember, like a lot of NFL fans get upset when their players get injured in preseason games. They're going too hard. It's the same thing at this time, But then you also remember Colorado, Toronto, and you're like, we can never play in this weather all the time. So there's a reason for it and there's a reason against it. You look at Jordan Morris, if you're a Seattle Sounders fan, I think one of the things that has to frustrate you is there enough depth in this team to cover? If you haven't heard, if we're the first time you're hearing it, he's been completely ruled out of the 2018 season now. So, I know it's 6 to 9 months before he makes a comeback. It looks like he's going to completely miss the season. You got a couple players that are starting to get up there in age. Chad Marshall, is he still able to do it? Roman Torres is going to be another year older when this team is finally back to full strength. You've got, Clint Dempsey, who I've said for the last 3 years he's done, and he's proven me wrong every time. But he's also going to be a year older.
Yeah, but you'll keep saying it, and he'll keep proving you wrong.
He will keep proving me wrong, I'm sure. But at some point, I will be right. It's like saying nighttime is coming. At some point, I will be right. How long, does he have another year left in him? Does he have another two? You look at these teams and someone like Seattle may not be necessarily built around Jordan Morris, but certainly he's an important part. you know, are you able to withstand this with the depth they have? Are they now able to turn around and go find somebody for coverage? Who's going to take over that position? Does the team have to change its philosophy now? You know, what are they going to do when they get back to the MLS Cup final in Toronto this year? Please don't be in Toronto this year.
Imagine.
Just, you know, there's a lot of questions now. And, you know, if you're a Seattle fan, you're just hearing now, Kale, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry for, you know, also Kale's boyfriend. I'm sorry for all the screaming that's happening.
It's disappointing and frustrating. Nobody wants to lose. I wouldn't say Jordan Morris is their best player, but he's definitely on top with, like, either definitely one of the fastest, he's someone you have to worry about. And that was always helpful for Seattle.
He is a part of their final third attack. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he was injured. He did miss a lot of games last year. He pulled the hamstring during the U.S. qualifier last year. So I don't think it's like, you know, what the hell's, you know, what's going to happen to the Sounders. I think they'll be fine, but this does not help, obviously. So let's also talk about real quick about the other MLS team, the other MLS teams that played. FC Dallas played against Tauro and they lost 1-0. And the Red Bulls drew 1-1 against Olympia with I don't know if you saw the goal from Daniel Royer after the cross from Bradley Wright Phillips. Did you see this goal?
Yes, I did. And you know, Daniel Royer looks like he's back in top form.
Yeah, my favorite thing more than the goal, which was incredible, was a cross from kind of the middle of their attacking half, which it was a cross that you're like, why is Bradley Wright Phillips that far away from the goal? Like, it didn't really make sense why he was that far away.
Yeah, that's like if you walk by a gym and I wave at you from inside, you'd be like, why is he in there?
What the? This is, something's wrong. Is everything okay?
I think he needs our help. You know, it was like when I watched it, I thought, should he be a midfielder? Because that was such a perfect, like, it was somewhere between a cross and a Beckham-like long ball. It was dead on to the only person who could get that was Daniel Royer. It was amazing.
We're not used to seeing Bradley Wright Phillips do stuff like that. And that was noted by former Red Bull player, current Chicago Fire player, Dax McCarty, hashtag fruitball. He retweeted the highlight and tagged Bradley Wright Phillips saying, dude, he was like, where did you learn how to ping like that? You know, ping the ball like so perfectly. And then our homie, Bobby Boswell, with the comment, with, you know, getting involved. He's retired now, so he has his Twitter fingers are very fresh. He goes, oh, he was shooting the ball. He wasn't passing it.
Oh no, he was trying to shoot from there. You just helped him.
That would be insane, because Bradley Wright Phillips, again, last season did not score a goal from outside the box. That is not his game whatsoever. But if he's introducing that to his game this year, I mean, we might even see Bradley Wright Phillips with like 3-4 assists this year. It might be pretty crazy.
Yeah, you said that he didn't score a goal outside the box. I don't think his heat map traveled outside the box.
He's like, oh, I never. This is very unfamiliar. These blades of grass are very unfamiliar to me. Actually.
He's like, wow, this is longer than I expected.
You guys have fun running back and forth. I'm gonna be over here.
Y'all know where I'm at. You know, it's got a lawn chair out there.
On today, Tuesday, when we're recording this, Toronto FC is playing their second leg of their match, and FC Dallas is playing their second leg on the 28th, which is today when you're hearing this, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Red Bulls play their second leg against Olympia at Red Bull Arena. So I think Red Bulls should take this. I mean, I don't know how a strong of a team Olympia is necessarily, but at Red Bull Arena, hopefully, again, for these Champions League games, we, you know, they should be supported. You know, I was just at, you know, a Dominican Champions League match, and people went absolutely nuts. It would be great to see that from the Red Bull fans as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I feel bad, but it seems like, you know, unless, you know, MLS teams start to do much, much better, it feels like no one's really going to take it seriously. I'm trying to find the name of the player. I can't find, but it looks like some of the one or two of the players from Olympia will not be able to travel to the U.S. So
okay.
Yeah, just for visa issues or whatnot. But it looks like they're not going to be able to. All right, we all heard a motorcycle background. That was awesome.
it's just again, if you want any proof that I'm actually in Dominican Republic.
That's it. Just background noises. But it looks like whatever that player, I can't remember, Joshua Carmen or something like that. It looks like he's not going to be able to travel. So it looks like, you know, the Red Bull aren't just getting an opportunity to play in front of a home crowd, you know, drawn even with Olympia. But it looks like they're going to be, you know, a little bit of a weaker opponent. So
wow.
It looks like they're going to have the best chance.
Honestly, I didn't know Donald Trump was a New York Red Bull fan because he's doing the, yo, build that wall. Don't let them back in here.
Yeah, he's like,
don't let them in.
Tell me who their best player is. I'll keep them out. I would run on that field whether I had a weapon or not, and I would have scored the goal.
Yep. Oh man, we do not want Donald Trump doing MLS recaps
because no.
He would be very critical in every way.
A lot of people say teams are doing well. And I hear those people saying those things.
So that's the CCL stuff this week. The second legs are coming up. Watch those games. We have to support that competition, man. It's great to see those different types of games. It'd be better if they were in the middle of the season, like they're supposed to be. But it's a good little appetizer for Major League Soccer. So,
Wait, I got the name. Davidson, Jonathan Paz and Davidson Castillo.
Name is Paz. He was born to play soccer.
Paz. I mean, Paz de Bol is what, you know.
That's his nickname.
Davidson Castillo, which stands for Castle, so clearly a defender, and midfielder Brian Moya. And here's one of my favorite things about Brian Moya. Brian is how you say Brian in Spanish, but he spells it, or his mom spelled it, Brayan.
It's phonetically.
It's so perfect. I love.
I think it says Brayan. Brayan.
Yeah, it's Brayan. Brayan Moya. And also, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you read this. It looks like Jesse Marsh skipped practice for a UEFA coaching class. So. Really
playing,
trying to get to Europe.
Play hooky, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Play hooky from, he's made it very clear. He's going to be the coach of like RB Leipzig at some point, man. That's his hope.
He was like, hey, you know, Bradley Wright Phillip, what are you doing in the midfield? Bradley Wright Phillip's like, homie, what are you doing in Europe?
You work in America.
Yeah.
Going to school. Do they have online classes you can take? Why do you got to go all the way out there?
I know, right? Doesn't Southern New Hampshire University have the UEFA coaching courses that they can do it over Skype?
Exactly. So again, Major League Soccer is coming back this weekend. We're very excited. It's going to be exciting too. What's the opening match? The opening match is on the 3rd, March 3rd, and that's going to be Toronto FC against Columbus, which was a great, playoff battle between those two last season. So that's going to be a good start. Then,
yeah, the 3rd's going to have a bunch of great matches. It's got Houston, Atlanta, which is going to be a fun one. Philly, New England, which, you know, I don't know if anyone's going to watch.
I don't even think the players on the bench are going to watch that game.
Yeah, I know they're going to be on their phones watching Atlanta versus Houston. Orlando versus DC United, FC Dallas versus Real Salt Lake. San Jose is going to be at Minnesota, or I'm sorry, going to be playing Minnesota. Seattle, LAFC, that's going to be a big one. That's going to be the next day, actually. That's going to be on the 4th. The 4th is going to be awesome. It's going to be Seattle versus LAFC, Vancouver versus Montreal, Sporting Kansas City versus NYCFC, and LA Galaxy versus Portland. So, you know, what a nice weekend for opening weekend here for MLS.
Yeah. Also, and remember, listeners, that MLS Live is free up until it's not free anymore. So you can go to MLS Soccer and watch all the games that are even out of market, because MLS Live is going to be free up until it moves over to ESPN Plus.
Right.
So that Seattle FC is going to be a national game on ESPN. But there's a couple hot ones that you should probably watch. I don't know. We did this last year, but we tried to predict who would win MLS Cup. Last year, you said in Atlanta's inaugural season, I think you said that they were gonna take MLS Cup, right?
No, I said that Toronto was gonna beat Seattle again, because I'm always.
Oh,
right.
Did you?
No, I didn't. I said Atlanta. I said Atlanta was gonna win. I did.
And they ended up in fourth place and had a great season, so not bad.
They had a great season. You know, and I know they went out and bought Barco, but they lost a few pieces. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get back to they will get in the playoffs. I guarantee you Atlanta's going to get in the playoffs. But I don't know if they're strong enough to get to MLS Cup, because I think a lot of other teams have not only, you know, sort of went out and gotten, you know, a bunch of, you know, a reinforcements, if you will. But I think, you know, Atlanta's back line has gotten just a little weaker. And who's going to be the defensive midfielder? And, you know, I'm pretty sure that Tata is just like, whatever, we're going to score 8 every game. So just don't give up 9 and we're good, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited to see them, but I kind of feel like it's going to be Toronto again.
I'm sort of in the same boat. But you know what? I'll say that I don't think Toronto is going to repeat. I think they're going to do well. I think they may even win the Supporters Shield again. But I do think I think it's going to be an Eastern Conference team, and it might be shocking. I honestly think, especially, I think it's going to be, it's hard for me to pick. I think it's going to be either Atlanta or Columbus. I think Columbus looks really good, and it's scary, especially since they lost two great players, but I think it might be possible with how they played in the playoffs. If they can just fix a couple things, it might happen. So it might be a crazy pick, but I think it might be. It's between Atlanta and Columbus. Again, I would love NYCFC. I would love to say NYCFC about my prediction, but given how NYCFC has been this preseason, I'm pretty scared. I'm scared that they're not. That the chemistry isn't going to kind of show up fast enough.
I'm more nervous than I've ever been as an NYCFC fan, because, you know, I felt like once Jack was sold, you know, I wanted to turn and see like what's happening and you know, who's going to take over that role. And, you know, I don't know that there's as much continuity as there needs to be. And there's not as much bonding as there needs to be. Like, it looks like, you know, 3 or 4 different teams out there. They went out and got a lot of pieces, so they look more dangerous than they ever have. But I don't know if they're going to bring it together to become a team in time. And Sean Johnson is kind of scaring me a little bit.
I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what to expect. I'm definitely. I like the feeling because it makes me. I feel like it makes me care more. I know that when I'm worried, I'm like, oh man, this is really important to me. Why is this? It's just a bunch of dudes kicking the ball around. But no, there's a real concern. The preseason, NYCFC did not win one preseason game. And again, those results don't matter, but it doesn't make me feel any more comfortable that they just couldn't score more than the other team. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what, like, offensively, I think they need more time, like, and you know, Jesus Medina to sort of get acclimated. And I think Rodney Wallace is going to have a larger role this time around. You know, he scored a couple goals early in the season and then was just kind of just shut out the rest of the way. So there's a couple concerns going forward. Yeah. And David Villa, he's not getting any younger. I mean, his hair is getting younger. It's looking better. The product is perfect. But when it comes to how he's going to sort of be towards the end of the season and hopefully in the playoffs, a little baby boy's worried. I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I think I am too. And look, your pick of Columbus is absolutely insane because you are trusting trusting Giassi Zardes for an entire season.
Dude, he got a brace the other day.
If you say preseason doesn't matter, then I don't think of a better example than Giassi Zardes. I hope I'm wrong for your sake. But if you're wrong, I will not let you forget about this the entire way through. But
well,
also,
probably,
I would love for you to be right.
Be wrong.
Because the look on everyone's faces in that press box and in the manager's suite and the owner's suite and the commissioner's suite as Columbus hoists the MLS Cup and immediately puts it in a Ryder truck on the way to Austin. I can't picture a funnier, more uncomfortable, more awkward, more easily talkable part of MLS soccer than that.
It's not the equivalent, but it's close to, you know, Tom Brady lifting the Super Bowl trophy, or, you know, getting handed the Super Bowl trophy from Roger Goodell right after after the whole Deflategate thing. And so, yeah, it'll be, I mean, for a storyline, you gotta love that one. That would be good.
Yeah, I mean, the storyline alone, I mean, look, it's going to give us a lot to talk about. So, I mean,